Welcome back to Season 5 of The Rock Movers, the podcast for empowered women who are navigating life's biggest transitions, challenges, and moving life's biggest rocks. I'm your host, Karen Gray, and I can't wait for us to get started with today's guest and episode. Are you ready? Let's move some rocks. Hey, Rock Movers. Today, I am joined by Tabitha Jones. Tabitha is the CEO of Empowered Leadership Coaching, and she's a career advancement and leadership coach based in the San Francisco Bay Area, but she works with clients nationwide. She's also a keynote speaker, and she has a book and a podcast. So she and I are so in alignment in our conversation today, where we talk about our value and how to articulate our value in a corporate world, especially a male-dominated corporate world, where we tend to really struggle as women with imposter syndrome, stepping into our power, identifying where that line is of being powerful and being a bitch. So we really have such a real and raw conversation today that I know you are going to love. So let's dive right into it, because I know you're ready for it, with my new friend and powerful coach, Tabitha Jones. Okay, you heard how amazing today's guest is. So let's dive right into the conversation with Tabitha Jones. And I just want to say thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of our rock moving community, and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Karen. And I look forward to our conversation.
Yeah. Well, we have so many similarities in our alignment, how we see life, but I love that we each come at it from a different perspective. So I think today's conversation is going to be great. Especially because I'm in season 5 of The Rock Movers, and this season is really about the intentionality of how we operate in our zone of genius. I really want to dive into that this season and be super intentional with our conversations. So coming at our conversations or our questions a little bit different today. So all of this is about how we move rocks. So tell us, and my listeners, about that biggest rock that was in your bag and how you moved it out to get to where you are today.
Absolutely. So I'll tell you, I'm going to take the liberty of sharing two big rocks. Two things. In my former corporate career, where I spent more than 20 years climbing that ladder, I would say my biggest rock early on was not being able to articulate my unique value. Basically not feeling confident enough, not understanding it well enough, not being able to tell the leaders in my company why I was the best one for any job that they were seeking to fill. So learning that.
Can I stop you right there? Because I don't want to blow by this, because I talk about this and coach around this, so many of my listeners heard that and they're just all like, amen, sister, like preach, because they are facing this as well. So I just want to sit here for a second and say, this beautiful woman in front of me just shared really vulnerably that this was a huge rock for her, and I don't want you to miss how she moved it. So go ahead.
So I learned through a lot of error, as I was holding back, hoping others were going out and speaking for me. A bit of my story is that I stayed in the same role for 10 years, just trying to get more and more perfect, always hoping somebody else had my best interest in mind. And one day I finally realized it wasn't up to anyone else. It was up to me to be able to articulate my value so that other people could speak on my behalf, which, you know, in the corporate world, it comes down to being able to talk about your accomplishments with confidence and adding in proof. So metrics, stats, numbers are what grab attention in the corporate world. So percentages and dollars and all of those great things. Being able to articulate accomplishments, talking about skills, and then being able to talk about what made me different from my competitors was a huge turning point for me.
Yes. And, okay. I love, 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 because we talked about this in advance, and I'm so glad you went there, because women particularly have a very hard time. We know we do a lot of things. We know we are really great at a lot of things, but we do have a hard time articulating it because we don't stop to do the metrics and measure. It's like, yeah,
I
brought in all this sales. Yeah. You know, we sit there and we're mad that we, you know, we're the top salesman or salesperson of a company or in this team, yet it goes unnoticed. When at the same time, we're going behind the scenes, helping, being a great servant, heart-led servant, helping others, doing all this thing, not taking credit because we feel like if I tout my own horn, that's not good. If I do this, if I get any kind of light shined on me, that feels awkward. That feels uncomfortable. I don't want to bring attention to myself. Because if I do that, somehow that's equated to being bad in some way. So I love, 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 and I want women or whoever's listening to this that this is resonating with to see this as your permission slip to be your best fan, to be your biggest cheerleader, to be your best champion, and to track, measure, to be able to articulate your value. Because when you can express it, articulate it, you can feel it and you can own it. And I want that to be a huge takeaway from everything that Tabitha shares today. Because when I heard her story and how she did this, I was just like, why didn't I hear this like 30 years ago? I needed you in my life. So listen, 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 and take notes from this woman today. You're going to miss it if you just glaze over this and go, yeah, yeah, doesn't apply to me. It does.
It does. And, you know, I'm going to tap on your permission slip because for some reason, many people, mostly women, feel like we need permission. Your competitors, mostly men, are not waiting for permission. They're not worried about sounding cocky or bragging. And that is why men are promoted at higher rates than women. We hold back. We don't want to be perceived that way. So I tell clients when I'm working with them or I ask them, what are your top five career accomplishments? And most of them can't answer. And I'll send them away with homework. And even after a week, I still don't always have those top five. So we go on really great fishing expeditions and get the information out of them, right? But it's women, we just do things. We do so many things. We move so fast and we never sit back and think, wow, what was the benefit to the business of this accomplishment? Or what was the benefit to my team? And we have a hard time taking credit because we are such great leaders who are so empathetic, who want to share everything with our team, that we forget that, yes, a lot of it's about the team, but some of it is about you. Some of it is about the way you're leading your team. Some of it's about the way that you're showing up at work and you're thinking very differently, which, you know, in my career, that was one of my unique values. I could see things from a completely different perspective as I was leading technical teams, but I came from a customer service background where I actually answered phones at a call center. So I could say, well, that seems like a great idea on paper, and it looks really good from a maybe financial perspective, but what about the people on the phones? What about the people in the field? So that's something that was valued then by my leaders once they realized I had that. So everyone has that. It's just a matter of sitting down and reflecting.
I love it. So you said something that I wanted to dive in deeper, that women have a hard time taking credit. And I've seen this, I've experienced it, I've coached around this, but I wanted to get your thoughts to see if you have a perspective on this. Oftentimes we are raised as women, the culture is that we're to be the helpmeet. And I don't disagree with that, right? We're a husband's mate, we're the Robin to his Batman or whatever you want to call it, right? We're supposed to be the partner behind the scenes helping. So when we go against that cultural norm and step into the light, it feels like women are stepping out of their place. Do you see that? Do you agree with that? What is your perspective on that? Because I want to explore that a little bit because I feel like that's part of this corporate challenge that women have, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am Gen X. So we were raised, keep your head down, keep your lips closed, and work hard. And if you deserve a promotion, you'll get it. So there's some generational conditioning out there for sure. And it can be really uncomfortable to step out from that and realize that that's not really the way the world works. And we have to take up space. Now, for someone like me who's an extrovert, it might be a little bit easier for someone who's a little more of a quiet leader or an introverted leader or someone who's been raised in a culture where women definitely are expected to stay very quiet. In those cases, you still deserve your space. You still deserve your spotlight. And it may take practice. It may take finding someone like me who can help bring out that energy from you and help you start seeing yourself a bit differently. And I know you do this with your clients too, but really helping them see that this value you bring to the world, no one else brings the same value. That's what makes us all amazing. And all of us are unique and we all get to wave our flag. None of us are less than. So it's to your point, there's some conditioning. It can be uncomfortable. You deserve to take up the space and absolutely need to work to get comfortable with that.
I love that. And thank you for saying that, because it's not about whether or not you deserve it. That is implied, right? You deserve it. You're in the position, you deserve the space. It's whether or not you feel the confidence, internal confidence, to step into it. So regardless of your spiritual conditioning, cultural conditioning, generational conditioning. So yeah, I'm also Gen X. We were raised to, kids were kind of seen, not heard. Go outside, the door was locked. You play outside till, it's dark and the lights are come on, street lights come on, and you come back inside. My husband and I joke about being feral children. We just took care of things. However, stepping into corporate, having that confidence as a woman is sometimes a challenge, because oftentimes a woman feels like, I have to be a biatch to step into this, right? There has to be this arrogance. So confidence equals arrogance, right? There's somehow this simulation, and I don't think it has to be that way. What has been your experience with that?
It absolutely doesn't have to be that way. So, when I left my career, I was an executive director at Comcast Corporate, based in California, employees across the country. I can't say that anyone ever considered me to be a biatch. Definitely, I was confident. Definitely, I am and always will be a very empathetic person who is firm but fair. Had the confidence to say what I needed. There were times I'd be sitting in a meeting, and all of a sudden, as I'm speaking, my mouth was still moving. Someone would start to mansplain something or pop in his perspective. And I learned to get really confident with saying, "Excuse me, David, let me finish this thought, and you're welcome to weigh in." And the first time I did it, I could see the women kind of cheering inside, like the looks on the faces, and some men with maybe an eyebrow raise. But you know what? Over time, it gets more comfortable and people get used to it. And it's uncomfortable for people who have sat in a room and allowed that to happen. As a leader, I wouldn't allow that to happen. If I saw it, I would hit the pause button for, well, I'll keep calling David. David, I need you to hold that thought. Let's let Lisa get the rest of her perspective out. And then you can move forward. And that would build Lisa's confidence because she's like, oh, somebody wants to hear from me. And I'll tell you, I go back to early career. I don't think I was a leader quite yet. And I had this gentleman. He was the regional vice president or regional president of in the California region where I sat. And he called my boss and I into a meeting. And she's a director. And I think, a project coordinator at the time. And I was prepared. I was nervous. I knew he was a straight shooter. He was a little intimidating to some people, but I just knew that as long as you weren't lying, because he was a human BS detector, and I'm one as well, so I could relate. So I'm ready to go. And I remember he asked a question, and I'd open my mouth to speak, and my boss answered for me. And the second time that happened, he asked her to speak. He said, "I called Tabitha in here because I know she's leading this project. I really want to hear what she has to say. Her perspective matters." And I was like, okay. So that was the first time someone ever made room for me to speak. And I took that forward with me. And then, continuing to share those strategies for women who are trying to get their voices into rooms.
What a powerful situation to have a male leader do that for you. So I don't think it matters specifically for a man or a woman to do that for us, but it's really very affirming, I think, when it happens, period. But to have a male leader do that, it really does just solidify some trust for that relationship, especially. But I have noticed in my corporate experiences, which is possibly one of the bigger reasons why I'm not in corporate anymore, strong women tend to, I call it trigger or threaten women who are struggling in that area. So if I'm a competent woman and I step into a room, into a conversation with a person who is, well, let me just speak specifically my experience. I am in a place in my life now where I've done the work, I've healed, I've gained this confidence and see myself as not better than, not less than, but my opinion matters. And I have a lot of opinions about certain things. And stepped into a conversation with someone who was my direct supervisor, and she was really struggling with insecurity. And so anytime I would ask a question, have a thought, propose an idea, she felt very, very threatened by my presence, just my energy in the room, to the point that it became ridiculous that I got written up every time I opened my mouth, literally written up. So those types of situations are so toxic and destructive for women who are trying to step into places. How do you recommend if someone is dealing with that, which is so counterproductive to what we say as women we want to do for each other? We want to lift each other up, you know, women supporting women, women helping women. And as someone who's a president of a women's organization here in Texas, I'm always looking for ways to elevate, introduce, and support women. So how would you handle that situation or advise that woman if she's dealing with any kind of toxicity like that, especially from a fellow woman?
It's more disheartening when it is a fellow woman. And I'm sorry to hear that you went through that, because it is not a fun situation to be in. I've coached plenty of women in that type of situation. And to me, it's a sign of, one, you've outgrown that leader. You are a threat to that person. They no longer are the right leader for you. The situation is, you can't generally just walk out and say, I'm out. You know, we need a paycheck. We like to eat, those kinds of things. Sure. So dealing with that is, it's important to get mentors. It's important to have people in your life that you can trust to have conversations with. So whether it's a mentor or a coach or a close friend who can actually understand the situation, it's important, because you need an outlet. The way of dealing with that leader is kind of coming in and doing what's expected and say, I don't want to say suffer through it, because that's not the right answer. My sense is that you in that situation had already had conversations with her with, this is how I feel, or these are the things that need from you in order to grow and be supported. If you've had those conversations, the best thing you can do is work on what needs to be done. Be the best that you can be. Perhaps reach out to that person's leader if you're comfortable with that. I've never been a person to shy back, but then I know there are cases where retaliation happens, and that makes it even more toxic. So I'd say the best advice is get someone you can trust and start having conversations and figuring out what's next for you. I have a client right now who's in a very similar situation, and you know, I really like my company. I really like my job. I don't really want to leave. But this person she's working for is miserable and for some reason isn't going anywhere. She's had the conversation with HR. She's had the conversation with the leader's leader. At this point, we're getting her packaged up and ready to start looking for new opportunities. Yes. She's conducting informational interviews with other leaders. She's looking at people outside the company to see what her options are. But we don't want to move fast. We don't want to jump from the frying pan into the fire. We want to make sure that wherever we're going is better. So there's definitely work to do in that space to take care of yourself and make sure that call it workplace PTSD. I'm not a therapist, so I guess
absolutely.
I'm probably not allowed to, right? But it is.
That's exactly what happens.
PTSD, it sticks with you. You replay it again and again and again. And what could I do better? What did I need to do? It comes down to accepting that it's not always you. Sometimes that other person, even though they have more authority on the org chart, sometimes it's just them. They're just not the leader for you anymore.
Yeah. Well, my situation, it was it did become a PTSD type situation for me, or experience. I did talk, went up the chain, went to HR. And I think the lesson here for leaders is, if you have someone, or a business owner, if you have someone that's toxic in your company, under your charge, that you hate to let them go because blah, 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 but you see some behavior that is toxic or destructive or counter to what your values are for your company, or what you say your values are for your company, the lesson is, they lost several employees, good staff, because of that type of behavior was allowed. And I left, went to another company, great company, totally different situation. But anytime someone reached out to me, hey, can we jump on a call? I immediately assumed I was in trouble. I had done something wrong. And so I had to process through that and communicate to them, you know, here's my past experience. When you want to talk to me, if I've done something, can you just preface what the point of the call is, so I can set my expectations as I heal through this?
Yeah, and that's absolutely
a great strategy. They were like, hey, I got an idea. I want to run it by you. Or, hey, have something that came up. I just have a question for you. All is good. And that company, the owner of that company, always, the new company, always backed me up as a human, as a person, and treated me with such respect that it allowed me this really safe space to heal. It was amazing. But some people don't have that same opportunity. So I love what you said about the process of going through, and, you know, kind of the chain of command. And sometimes it's just realizing it truly isn't. Like, this served you for a time. There's a lesson here. Sometimes it's great to just cut ties and move on, find your place somewhere else. And you and I have both been in that place. And so now you're doing something completely different in that regard, not in corporate, but now you're serving those in corporate. So tell me a little bit about how you've moved those rocks out of your bag, and now you're helping others with what you do now.
Absolutely. So I used a lot of the strategies. I think I shared, I stayed in that role for 10 years. Over the next 10 years, I was promoted 4 times. 2 of those were through really negotiating my value and getting what I needed and opening doors for others. And now I use that blueprint to help my clients do the same. So there's a lot more to career advancement than just keeping your head down and working hard. And I have created Empowered Leadership Coaching as a one-on-one program and a group program to really help clients understand what it takes and to work through all of those obstacles that have held them back. We do a lot of self-disqualification. Oh, I can't apply for that. I don't meet 100% of the qualifications, right? We do a lot of negative self-talk that says, oh, you're not as good as her. We compare ourselves. I've lived that. So have built the strategies to help women work through that.
Yeah.
So good, right? The things that we've learned.
So good.
And when I'll tell you, going back and I think about things, other rocks, the other one was really that imposter syndrome, which I kind of touched on with the comparison. I'm not enough. I'm not this. I need that. Yes. Whatever it is.
The stories that we make up are just wonderful, aren't they? Just so
beautiful.
They're
just fantastic. Fantastic. I was speaking to a group of women. It was a small meeting at Comcast a couple months back. And I was talking about career advancement with the ladies in the room. And one of them said something about comparing herself. Well, you know, she's just so, I said, okay, when you look at me, what do you see? Well, you're just so put together. You're all buttoned up and professional. I said, you know what the reality is? I can't breathe. I haven't put on a pair of pants since 2020 with a button. Like, what you see is not what's really real. It's all perception. And so they kind of started laughing, but I said, you know, that's my way of saying everyone can pull themselves together on the outside. You don't know what's happening inside.
Oh, and a beautiful lesson.
Thank you. And just comparing yourself to somebody without knowing the whole story, you're seeing the outside of the package. And I did slide. So I did really great with imposter syndrome for the rest of my career. And then I slid back a little bit as I became an entrepreneur. And I'd say it's probably expected. I didn't expect it, but it was kind of expected. I'm a fairly confident person. I know who I am, what I'm doing. But comparison with people online and on social media, and just people would start sending me my friends with the best of intentions, other posts or other content from other career coaches. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't sound like that. And then nobody wants me to sound like that. They want them to sound like that. So
Yeah,
I'd say imposter syndrome's
but
the
it's
other.
so human, right? That's a totally human, normal thing. And no matter, I don't know about you, but I thought as I did this really deep work, because I love personal development, I love all of this. Like, I could totally geek out on this all day. If I could get paid to do courses and learn, I literally would be a millionaire. And at the same time, as I learn, I think, okay, that's done, right? That's in a box now, done. I'll never have to deal with that again. And then one day I'm going to arrive at this destination and everything's going to be great, right? Like, you leave your house and you're going on vacation. And when you get there, vacation's going to look like a certain thing. Spoiler alert, I'm going to ruin the whole trip because it never does. There is no destination that you ever officially arrive to until your body is dead and in the ground. And that's just really, I don't think, a destination either. So that's a misnomer too. But you get to the top of this mountain and all of a sudden there's a whole nother set of mountains on the other side of this mountain. And you get to the, you know, end of this journey or this imposter syndrome challenge, and there's a whole nother set of problems on the other side. And guess what? One of those mountains is going to be imposter syndrome again. So we're human, right? We just learn the lessons, and now we have the skill sets and the tools and the resources in our bags to manage it. So maybe I still struggle with either anxiety or going into depression or whatever it is that your challenge is. You just know it now, and you have the resources to move out of it quicker, faster, better. You don't stay there as long. You don't stay angry as long, or you're driving down the road and you know the power of your words and the power of your attitude and your mindset. Someone cuts you off and you're like, you're a jerk. You're probably going to see your daughter and you're running late to her school and you're going to have a great day. And I'm not even going to be angry anymore, right? Where before it would have ruined your whole day. So it's not that we don't slip. It's not that we don't struggle. We just move faster out of it. And we don't stay there as long. So I want to normalize that, because I think that's such a great lesson for those listening, because how we do anything is how we do everything. And you're human. And we're going to have these challenges. And we're still able to elevate and move those rocks so fast. So I love that you gave that lesson and shared that. So thank you for that. And I didn't mean to interrupt, but I get so excited about these gold nuggets because they happen. You're dropping all of them and they're so valuable. So so now you're working with and coaching people who are looking for career advancement and different opportunities to internally and externally, financially move into this other career. You've got this fabulous resource of 10 must-do strategies for career advancement. And we're going to be sharing that in the notes. What other things do you want to make sure that our guests listening to this today, if you're struggling in your career, you're looking at considering a change, or you want to move out of corporate into entrepreneurship, what do you have as a takeaway for our guests in the last 10 minutes of our
call? Absolutely. So thank you for that. I'd say let's tap back on imposter syndrome just a bit. So just a little advice for anyone who is struggling with it. What it looks like is, I can't do it as well as she does, or I don't have a degree, so I'm not qualified, or I don't have enough experience in X. Whatever that imposter syndrome is for you. One way that I work around that with clients is I have everyone create a list of 50 things they're most proud of. And if we're going on a job search, because I do help people with their job search processes, I have them start with their top five career accomplishments, but we're so much bigger than our careers. You know, Karen, we talked about this a bit earlier on as well. We've done so many amazing things as human beings. That list needs to contain 50 things that make you an amazing human being. What are you proud of? And if you feel yourself slipping into imposter syndrome, go add five more things to that list. Mm-hmm. It never ends. It's a live document. That is one of the things that can help you remember if you're having a bad day, kind of coming back to center. Oh yeah, this is just one little thing. I've got this list of 50 things that tells me I'm better than this. I've got it. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, let's see. So you shared my promotion career advancement resource that I believe you'll be sharing with the show notes. I have a book coming out at the end of August, which is a blueprint for career advancement. So it's called Promotion Ready in 3 Months, The Women's Guide to Career Advancement, where we'll share some of our strategy.
So Promotion Ready
in 3 Months.
In 3 months. All right, ladies. Ready? Got 3 months.
3 months. The Women's Guide to Career Advancement.
So
we cover a lot of strategies that women overlook. Men seem to be really naturals at showing up at that golfing networking event where women are just too busy. I've got this other meeting that was thrown on my calendar. So I share strategies for those types of things and a personal story from a golf event that I went to that was hosted by a women's networking group that was attended by 85 to 90% men. So even if golf's not your thing, go do it. You still could ride in the cart and look cute in your outfit.
Yeah. So I love that you said that because what I see is women get caught up in the doing of things rather than the being.
Absolutely.
So I don't know if you are familiar with like the masculine and the feminine energy that just keeps popping up in my world all over the place. And probably because I searched it, Google heard it. Now it's everywhere on my feeds. But I love woo-woo stuff. I love meditation and all the things. But there is true scientific energy behind the masculine energy, which is the physical doing of something, right? You're in the creation phase, the building phase, the hunter-gatherer of this. And then the feminine is the nurturing, the being part. Not that men are feminine, but those are just the two energies that I'm referring to. But men are really great at being in a room. And if they're, you know, tapped into their greatest strengths, they don't necessarily feel like in that moment they have to do anything but be present. Where a woman feels like when she's in the room, she's got to do all the things to earn her place in the room or to be valuable in the room or whatever it is that we have convinced ourselves we're required to do. So same, you know, scenario, same room, two people, same jobs. And the man's going to be there, take advantage of the opportunity in the room. And the woman's going to be in there and look how she can help.
You're absolutely right.
We miss the opportunities, ladies, when we do that. I've lived it. I do it over and over again, even knowing that I need to be present. I still get in the room and, oh, there's trash over there. That trash can needs to be emptied. I have a whole team that's supposed to help with that. And I'm over there taking that trash out rather than being present, serving the woman in front of me. So check out Tabitha's book, Promotion Ready in 3 Months, and it's strategies for career advancement for women.
The Women's Guide to Career Advancement. Yeah,
women.
It'll be out at the end of August on Amazon. So it's in its final phases. So I'm really excited about that. And then if someone's listening to the show and feels like they need some help with career advancement or leadership growth, I offer complimentary consultations through my website, and we can share that on the notes as well, I'm sure. But would love to talk to you about what's going on. The trends I'm seeing right now are kind of interesting. One that's very common recently is I applied for my boss's job, boss is leaving, and I didn't get it, and now I'm training my new leader. Frustrated AF is pretty much the ending of that.
Yeah, I hear that over and over and over again. And it's not someone from inside that they've elevated up. They've brought someone from the outside of the company in. And yeah, they're training.
Yeah.
I see that over and over again as well. And frustrating is an understatement. So
exactly. So definitely talking about those kinds of trends, things that are going on. You know, sometimes we're a great fit to work together. Sometimes I could share just a quick nugget or two and send people on their way with some, you know, some helpful homework or some helpful tips that they can implement. I am all about strategy. So I'm a coach whose degree came from, well, it was more than 20 years in corporate, but 20 years or more of corporate leadership, climbing the ladder. So I really understand the strategies. I understand what works and would love to help guide anyone who's looking for attention or support in that space.
I love that. Thank you. And one of the reasons why Tabitha's on here is because I want women to see me. We both serve, we're both female coaches, coaching women, yet you can see we're both very different. We come at different situations with different perspectives. There's an opportunity for me to sit here and say, well, I can't be Tabitha. I don't have that experience. I didn't do that. Judge her, judge me, and miss this opportunity. There's also the opportunity for me to go, well, if I let her on, she could steal my clients, right? That there's competition there. So I'm not going to elevate her. Why would I dare do that? Take this opportunity and see that those that want to work with me are going to be attracted to what I do, how I serve. They're going to want to work with me. Anyone that wants to work with me is probably not ideal for Tabitha right now, but maybe in 6 months they are. Vice versa. Someone that needs what Tabitha does, I don't do that, right? So they're missing an opportunity to get help if all I'm thinking about is me. That's the same thing you're doing out there, ladies, men too. But when you compare yourself and you look sideways and you compare, I can't be that person, or she's not, you know, she can't be my friend because we do the same thing. No one does the same thing you do. Take this away from any of your language, the competition. It's collaboration, not competition. How can we work together? How can we support each other? How can you begin to show up authentically, confidently as yourself, so that you can attract the people that you're supposed to attract, and those that need you will come to you. Trust that. Trust that. And if you're listening to this and you're like, well, I love you, Karen, but Tabitha's really cool. Call her. That's why she's here. You're right. She is amazing. So please, please, please compare yourself or miss opportunities for fear, right? Don't let fear ruin or run your life. Just trust this. So this is so imperative for me, for women to see women lifting each other up and making collaborations and connections and helping each other rise. Because we rise together, we win together. And so thank you, thank you, thank you for being on the show today, for sharing your amazing skills and being in the trenches, doing the hard work with these women, especially, who are making these career changes. And if someone is in corporate and they want to change and they want to get out of it, they want to be entrepreneurial, they have something on their heart, they don't even know where to start, how would you help them? What would you do for those ladies?
I'm going to save them a lot of time with all the what not to do's.
Right.
And then very likely give them some referrals to coaches who can help them get moving forward. So I have some resources. I have some, you know, checklists that I can tick out for them and help them, but I would refer them because, to your point, women supporting each other, we're not competing with each other. Right. We're helping lift each other up, and every little bit helps. So I can pass on some great information and then pass on some great referrals as well.
I love it. Yeah, that's same. So a final question, if you could pick one thing that is absolutely making your life better. I love these little tips and tricks and, you know, back in, I don't know, let's say, I don't know, when women used to mentor other women, we used to teach each other, you know, hey, you really need this tool or whatever, we would mentor, right? And so if you could mentor anyone and say, use this, this tool is saving my life or making my life better, what would that tool or resource be and where could they find it?
So before we started, I was headed one direction, but as we were speaking, I decided to go a different direction because it definitely is something for corporate women and entrepreneurs. And it's going to sound maybe a little simple, but it is your calendar. Manage your calendar and don't let it manage you. So whatever calendar you like, I have a friend, Natalie, I laugh all the time because she likes a paper calendar and I am a Google calendar, or you've got your Apple calendar, but you've got to use that calendar to block out time for the things that are important. Yes. When I say that in the career space, it is for focusing on your own goals, not focusing on everybody else. It is for reflecting and preparing for meetings that matter and getting more visible. Yep. People will cram your calendar with meetings from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., but you don't have to attend all of them. You can be in charge of that.
Yes.
From an entrepreneurial space, same thing. Block out time to take care of the things that are most important. And remember that you literally are the most important. So make sure there's time on there for self-care and reflection and gratitude. It just makes such a difference. So I switched my answer, but definitely the calendar is where it's at.
I love it. I love when someone has followed, they understand the show format and they come prepared and then the conversation flows and it's like, oh, yeah, no, this is what's come up. I literally live by my calendar. I color block it. If it's not on my calendar, chances are I will not remember it, to the point that I have to block out lunch. I have to block out like getting up. I have a no tech reminder on my phone, which to me means don't go to social media. Don't go check your emails. You know, turn on your I had listened to the Insider app and do, even if it's just like a walking movement meditation or something, I get my time in and do my little journaling before the day starts. But I had to build that into my calendar to make it a habit first.
Absolutely.
So I love that you shared that. So important. Put those big rocks in first, those things that are really important. And if you need support on what a big rock is or how to navigate the calendar and build in those non-negotiables and, you know, make those priorities, please reach out to Tabitha or I for just a consult call on how to walk through your calendar and really time block it, making those important things so that you have those really good boundaries so that you have your oxygen moments, right? Where when we take a flight, they tell us to put our oxygen masks on first. Your calendar should have those too. Because if you're not feeding that to yourself, you end up compromising, ending up burnt out. And that's where things start to go awry with your health, that start showing up in your body as disease. Things just don't go well. So such great advice. Any parting words? We're going to put all of this, your website, your free resource, all of that will be in the show notes, including your social media links. But what else do you want to share before we wrap up for the day?
I would just love to thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And just one last shout out for women supporting women. So ladies, that's how we succeed. That's how we rise. And that's how we do all the great things we do. So thank you.
Couldn't said it any better. Just keep moving those rocks, keep supporting each other, and know that no one else can be you, and the world needs you so, so much. So keep moving the rocks, stay with us, and we'll see you on the next episode. Hey, Rock Movers, thank you so much for listening to this episode, for being a part of our community, and being a rock mover in your world. As a way to say thank you, I've got a gift for you. Use the code VIP2024 and you will get free access as a Rock Moving community member to our Reclaim Your Confidence course. There's also several other freebies on Coach Karen Gray website. So please just dive in, take all of the resources that you want. I want to give back and serve and make your life the most confident version of you that it can be. And if you love what you hear, I'd love to get your feedback. I'd love to have you follow us, subscribe, like, and comment on YouTube and over on Apple Podcasts. Your podcast comments mean the world, and that's how we get in front of other people who need to hear these messages. Don't forget to like and follow us over on social. And if you would like to have more information to get deeper connected to me and our team, book a free call over on CoachKarenGray.com. Now, I've got a few things that are coming up that I would love to invite you to. On October 18th through the 20th, we are going live with Verve, and that is Suzanne Castle's event for women. It is probably one of my favorite events that I'm looking forward to being a part of. I've been a part of Suzanne Castle's community. She's been a part of it at a distance. We haven't been able to be present at each other's events yet. So this is the first time. And when I say empowered women empower women, that's exactly what we do at this event. Be sure and click the code, use code Karen, to get $200 off this event. And I would love to see you there. And thank you again for being a part of our Rock Moving community, for doing what you do, serving how you serve, and know that as you keep moving your rocks, you just don't have to do them alone. We'll see you at the next episode.